Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th.
Each week, we talk about the movies and TV shows that influence Severance with the artists who make them.
Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
Part of the fun of sports, I would argue with you that it's most of the fun of sports, is not wrapped up in, oh, your bet cashed, that's cool. Is not wrapped up in, ooh, I'm checking out to see what my favorite player's war is. Is not wrapped up in necessarily reading copious articles or consuming any other sort of things written or said about your team, although that's very important. I say things about teams a lot, and I want you to consume them. The most perhaps fundamental part of enjoying sports, of enjoying an individual athlete, is actually watching them do their thing, which might seem like a ridiculously obvious assertion and obvious observation to make to start today's PM team. But that is where I want to start today's PM team. Reminding everybody why we all do this, why we all lift them weights, why Donnie's sitting there and I am sitting here and you are sitting wherever watching or listening or both to this show. Because at core, we like to watch people, if we're lucky enough to do so, who are really good at what they do, sports-wise, do that thing. Most of the fun of having a great player on your team boils down to watching that great player perform great feats. Simple, obvious conclusion. And yet, I do think what we got last night from Paul Skeens, yet another reminder that he is that dude in baseball, hasn't been as easy to enjoy as it should be. Hell, I'm not even sure it's been as easy to acknowledge or remember to enjoy as it should be. It's where we start today on the PM team, 412-928-9370, which is the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Pony, a surprise absence today. Well, surprising maybe to you if I was saying at the end of yesterday's show that he was going to be back on, and he's not on today. Pony, though, Donnie, falling victim to something that you will soon fall victim to. His in-laws, I think, took ill on their trip. They would have been watching Little Stella today, and guess who was left as the last line of childcare? Andrew T. Filippone himself. So he's got a daddy daycare day. He should be back ready to roll tomorrow, which coincidentally is the start of Steelers training camp, which is a day I think he would have to have an amputation scheduled to miss. But we start today with Paul Skeens, and we start today with perhaps the obvious. It would be like a weatherman saying, hey, check this out. The sun is shining. It's the ball of gas in the sky, in the universe that gives us life on this planet. Check out that sun, man. Isn't that something? I will admit this much to start today's show. I probably have not sat back and actually enjoyed how good Paul Skeens actually is. Probably not done a good enough job of making his games in my house appointment viewing, where I try to get other things done, try to get the kids playing something or settled into something where I can, not in peace, but just with some focus, watch him ply his trade. I haven't made it a point where, in real time, not going back and watching it on DVR, I've had my rear end parked in front of the TV when 30 is on the mound. And I think I came to that conclusion last night. We were sitting on the deck, my wife and I, our neighbors, a couple of our neighbors were over, a couple of kids in the neighborhood were playing with my kids, so it was one of those nice, good weather, settled in evenings where you're hanging out. And I noticed, I had the conscious thought of, wow, Paul Skeens is on sort of as background. I made sure I had the game on, but was I paying super close attention to it? I would look up, I'd crane my neck over, I'd peek at the TV. Oh, wow, he's still shutting them out. Tigers are awesome. 20 games over 500. They're great. They're the best team in baseball by record. That offense is really good. Scooble's awesome. I kept looking over. He kept making guys miss. Guys couldn't really do anything with him. The Tigers got, I think, very little in the way of what I would call serious opportunities, especially as the game wore on. And I just realized that he does this almost all the time. We talk about it almost all the time. And yet I felt like I was sitting there having almost missed it. Paul Skeens has gone now through 44 career starts, I believe it is. Of those 44 starts, it should be 44 of 44 feel like required viewing. How often do you get to say you watched one? It looks like one of the best to ever do it already. Ply his trade wearing your favorite team's uniform. Should make it an appointment. Problem for me, and I'm wondering, and this is where I want to really start today's show, I'm wondering if it's the same kind of problem for you to any degree. And I get it. I get paid to watch this stuff, so I'm always going to watch it. But sometimes it's with a level of detachment. Sometimes it's with a level of I'm paying 80% attention to this because I know I don't have to pay 100% attention and I can always go back and watch something again if I need to because modern technology is great. I am wondering, though. I am. If you've come to the same sort of existential conclusion that I have about Paul Skeens, watching him do what he did again yesterday, against the backdrop of all the other Pirates convos that we are having, have you caught yourself going, wait a minute, I should stop and smell the roses more. I should actually try to force myself into enjoying his games in a vacuum more because I'm not doing it enough right now. Has it been tougher than it should be for you to actually appreciate, to enjoy, to do the thing that you are supposed to do as a sports fan, which is enjoy watching your team in some way, shape, or form for some reason? Like, we all have favorite players. We all have random players on our favorite teams that might not be the best player, but that we have a soft spot for watching. Hey, I like the way that guy plays. I like what he does out there. If it's basketball, he's a glue guy. If it's hockey, he's a stay-at-home defenseman who always makes the right play, and so on. If it's a baseball player, it's somebody who's always positioned in the right place at the right time, whatever. Hell, you could even love defense at third base and say, Ke'Bryan Hayes might not be able to hit, but I love watching him field his position. Fields a bunt from Austin Meadows and just makes it look routine last night, for example. Have you found yourself, I wonder, in the same situation that I have? Last night having this like sledgehammer realization that, I'm not really enjoying what is going to be a very limited, how many starts is he going to make as a Pirate? If you're lucky, watching him. Say 4 more seasons after this, 3 more seasons. Maybe 150 starts as a Pirate. Am I appreciating what I'm getting to see every fifth day out of this dude enough? 412-928-9370. We were blessed because we still have this guy doing his thing for the Penguins and still doing it better than just about anybody. The Penguins are in their worst run as a team of Sidney Crosby's career. You got one crummy year to start with for the team, and then it was basically uninterrupted greatness. They were challenging for or winning a Stanley Cup for how many years straight? From 07 to 08 all the way through 20, I don't know, what would you call it realistically? 2021, you could cheat yourself into thinking that they had a shot at it. But certainly for a solid decade, they either won a cup in 3 years or they were challenging for a cup in other years. It was easy to appreciate how great he was because the team was great. You didn't have any conflicting feelings about the situation. I had plenty of conflicting feelings. Let me tell you what happened last night. I had intrusive thoughts pop in about baseball when I was watching Paul Skeens deal. You'd see him miss a bat. You'd see that four-seamer look as lively as it did. You'd see him make it look as easy as he ultimately did. And the one I had last night was, the conscious was, wow, look at what he's capable of. Look at what Paul Skeens doing to this team. Look at what he's doing to this lineup. Look how bad he's making them look. The intrusive little whisper was, how are they not building a better team around him? The little devil on my shoulder kept butting into the conversation, the internal monologue, and going, how is it still this bad aside? And it was hard for me, and I don't know if I'm on an island here. That is why I am kind of putting myself out there this way. It's hard for me to sit there and feel like I'm enjoying it as much as I should. We do this, get into this job, you're lucky enough to have the job because you're a fan of the team and you're a fan of sports first and foremost. If you're listening to this show, if you're watching this show, if you're commenting on this show, it's because you're a fan first and foremost. Being a fan is about being happy and rooting for things, even if it's not your team, rooting for players. I do wonder what that experience is like when it comes to Paul Skeens and how conflicted you feel, if at all, as a Pirates fan. 412-928-9370. Also, hit us up on Twitter at 937thefan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Don, how did you feel about this one? We've got an existential Malzy to start with today's show. Maybe inspired by Scottie Scheffler last weekend. Or I think Ken Carman likes to claim that when he does stuff like this, he's being deep thinker Ken. So I've brought deep thinker existential Malzy to the airwaves today.
It feels like we are having this conversation every time he does something cool, which is what sucks. Of, okay, how long do we have this guy? Oh, only a couple of more years if we're lucky. Oh, there might be a lockout in 2027. Some people think that next year will be the final full season with him. Like, it's a double-edged sword every time we have a Paul Skeens conversation. But you have to...
You're right, by the way, as a very quick starter here, you're right that it only happens when he has another great outing. It feels even worse when they win. When they blow it, like the ready-made conversation is, if he gives them seven shutout and they end up with a no decision or a loss, then you come in and you foam at the mouth. In this case, it was like, no, they won. They actually handled their business, finished the game, and I felt this kind of weird way.
I just think with him, it's like, okay, there's nothing that can ultimately prevent the inevitable down the road. But let's worry about that when we get to it. I think, owe it to really ourselves as Pirates fans who put ourselves through a lot of misery over the last three decades and then some. When you have an opportunity to watch this guy do better than pretty much anybody else in the sport, we have to enjoy it for what it is. Like, because at least for a little while, he's going to be a Pirates pitcher. And I think every single time that he's on the mound for them, we have to enjoy that.
I want to get your thoughts on this. We only have one line open as I see it, so this might have struck a chord. Here's what we're going to do. 412-928-9370. It's a thought question. It's not this is maybe I'm tugging at the heartstrings here, maybe a little bit differently or playing a different sort of emotional role here. You watch Paul Skeens, like, he just dealt, dude. Donnie Kelly said he I think alluded to the idea. I saw Alex Stumpf write this for MLB.com. They were going to have him on an 85-pitch count or thereabouts because they want to ramp him back up because they're trying to watch how much he pitches. 86 pitches to mow down the best team in baseball. I mean, just completely silence them. And one of the main takeaways I had was, why have I not made sure to make this more appointment viewing? And is it all connected to just how frustrated I am by the other 24 or 25 guys on this roster with him at any given moment?
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th.
Each week, we talk about the movies and TV shows that influence Severance with the artists who make them.
Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
Time. It's the PM team. You can listen to this very PM team on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, Odyssey app. You can watch this show on YouTube. You can join our very dysfunctional family-like commentariat on YouTube. I jumped into the comments this morning. I watched Crowley do about 90 minutes or so of his show. I was in my little home office, flipped up the... got the nice big monitor in there. And so I split the window and had the Crowley morning show experience on. I jumped into the comments under my own name. I have a YouTube handle. I pay for YouTube Premium because I like to get the ads boinked right out of there. And people didn't believe it was me, Don. I was participating. I was just trading zingers.
I heard rumblings of that.
Oh, yeah.
Malzy was in on the chat.
Yeah. Traded some zingers. Some people were like, they didn't believe it. But it was true. It was very true. I sent a few polite messages. Good day to the chat when I was about to get started today. And still people were like, is it Malzy? Yes. Yes, it is. Our friend Bressberg Feelers demanded a shout out by name. And so I gave him the modified shout out. Not doing too many of those, not bogging it down with a million of those. We'll maybe throw in one a day. It'll be like my little YouTube commenter of the day. Who gets the nod today? Who gets the nod tomorrow? Except when Pony's here, he'll be like, why are you doing this, Malzy? Bad news, sad news, for the record. Ozzy Osbourne, man, dead at 76. Happened during the break. I saw the Sky News tweet come down. People tagged me in it. Some all-time bangers courtesy of that gentleman. War Pigs, Crazy Train, just to name a few. What, Paranoid? Iron Man? Tons of bangers from Ozzy. And man, 76 is a huge win for Ozzy Osbourne. A writer that I'm a big fan of, who I follow, tweeted out not that long ago that they had just seen Ozzy and they were like moved to tears at how good he sounded singing like Crazy Train or something.
He performed like less than a month ago.
Yeah. So
I also wonder too, when it's stuff like that, if he,
like a stroke, or did he know he was sick?
That, yeah, like the second part. I wonder sometimes,
yeah,
with a performance like that, because it was all over social media. Like, okay, does Ozzy know this is probably one of the last ones?
So he's going to go out with a bang and give it his all. Man, I'm telling you,
Prince of Darkness.
If you put on the start of War Pigs for me and you just get that going, not many things better to get fired up before something, you're maybe going into a little athletic competition, Don. We never used it in high school for anything. We were very, like, typical Hell's Bells, Machine Head. You get War Pigs going, though, you get... It's hard not to be ready to run through a brick wall. Something that was always easier for me because my head was harder than the brick. 412-928-9370. We're not talking Ozzy Osbourne here, but we are saying RIP to a legend. Keith Richards continues to just defy it all. I don't know how old Keith Richards is, but I know he's older than Ozzy. Did you come up with kind of a similar feeling that I had watching the Pirates game last night, which was, I don't actually think I'm enjoying Paul Skenes' starts as much as I should. The team's overall malaise around him is actually undercutting how fun it should be to watch this guy, because that was the sort of weird existential crisis that I had last night, wondering, bouncing that off of you and how you feel about that. Let's start with Bill out in Altoona. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Chris, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, man, what's up?
So I think what is most frustrating about watching Skenes pitch, and obviously not to his own fault, is really just the timing of all of this. If Skenes would have come up, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago, during the back-to-back 100 loss seasons or even the COVID season, there was a vision at that time. Charrington was bringing in prospects, and I'll admit it, I drank the Kool-Aid and thought that he was doing what's right as a GM, similar to what Dubas is doing now. But this is a time that they told us they were going to win. They were going to go out. They were going to spend in free agency. And to see it go like this, I mean, this is their effort to win. It's beyond frustrating.
I actually think that's a pretty good point, and definitely one that neither of the two of us brought up in the open. He's right. The timing really sucks. You were supposed to be – it's even worse now that you're watching the guy when the team is supposed to have coalesced around him. Because if he – because you didn't have that same, to just put a finer point on it, when McCutchen came up in 09 and 2010 and you knew they were bottoming out, you didn't have this thought of like, man, it sucks that this, and he wasn't as good as of a player as Skenes already is as a pitcher. No disrespect to an NL MVP, but if Skenes keeps this up, he's going to be the Cy Young winner, even if he's 8-8 by the end of the year. You didn't have that sensation with, man, I can't believe I'm not enjoying watching McCutchen as much as I should be, because they were all young and they were all on the outset of a journey that ended up yielding 3 really good years. This is supposed to, Paul Skenes is supposed to be, in some ways, I would have thought, a final piece of a puzzle, the biggest piece that pushed them into contention, and it hasn't happened. Wade is in Brighton Heights. Hey, Wade.
Yeah, Mosey, as an AP literature teacher, I appreciate the existentialism comment. I compare the Pirates to an M. Night Shyamalan movie because I've watched them all because my wife loves them. They're a great buildup, and then the ending is the same. There is none for us. Every Paul Skenes start is pretty much great, and then at the end we're left wondering, what just happened with this? It's absolutely absurd.
I mean, Sixth Sense had an ending, and then I think he's tried to recycle most of that over and over again. What was the one where they're just in a village and it's just in the woods?
Village.
I'm sorry. What was the one that, where they're in a village? Oh, the one called The Village?
How about Signs? That was a pretty good one. Man, the first time you see that alien in Signs.
Man, the opening of Signs where she's pinned to the tree or whatever, but it's keeping her alive at the same time, right? Like the... You're like she can talk or whatever.
Yes.
Until she's unpinned. I think that's like, that's a horrible way to go, I would think. But Signs is kind of creepy. Oh, Unbreakable's not horrible. Unbreakable's not bad.
I didn't
bad.
See that one.
But that he the thing with him was he created this whole universe where there are certain, like, there's crossovers. What else did he do? What's the one with the guy with multiple personalities or whatever? Turns into the Beast or whatever. It's got a weird name. Sixth Sense. Here's the problem with him. It's your debut album's always going to be your best one. It would be like winning MVP Cy Young and having a 1 ERA in your first year as a major league pitcher. It doesn't matter what you're going to do after that. You're not going to top what happens after that. Carmen is on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Carmen.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, I know this is probably not the route you guys want to go down here, but I just looked this up prior to, and I'm glad you guys made this the topic today, because I was thinking about this after looking at the box score last night. I'm 30 years old, and I do not have cable. None of my friends have cable. So it makes it very difficult to watch Sidney Crosby in his final years, to watch Paul Skeens, you know, dominate in the early going of his career, because I feel like I'm missing out. But at the other end of the spectrum, I don't feel like I can – there was no pun intended there on spectrum, but I don't know if I can justify paying $200 or $300 extra a month for cable.
So this is like an anti-cable rant.
Yes, it is. Yes, that's what I wanted you to know. And it's probably not the route you wanted to go down, but I think there's a lot of people that can't appreciate, as I'm trying to say, Paul Skeens anyway, because you might as well go and watch him play in person instead of watching on your television.
I mean,
he's pitching every fifth day anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you can, I get it. Bills are bills, and I'm sensitive to that. But you can, I think it's like $17 a month if you don't even have cable. Just put the app on your TV, and boom, you're there. What would that be, Donnie? $17 a month. Yeah, I can sacrifice a couple cups of coffee, maybe. But that's how I do it. I did not think we were going in that direction. I don't think we were getting a... As somebody who lived without cable till he was 17, I mean, I'm sensitive to that argument, but... We ditched that and went YouTube TV.
Oh, I love the YouTube TV.
We quad box everything now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, quad boxing.
That's big on a college football Saturday.
It's glorious. There's
college
nothing better.
Basketball Saturday.
There's nothing. Nothing better than that. 412-928-9370. Just last wraps. I want to hear from you guys about this Paul Skeens thought I had to start the show. Just, do you feel like you're appreciating a guy? You got a finite period of time where he is a Pirates pitcher. I think we all know that. I know we all know that. Do you feel like you appreciate the individual starts enough? He goes out last night and just shoves for six innings when he was on more or less a pitch count against the best team in baseball. Ho-hum, 3-0, I'm better than you, even though all of you guys are really good. You're not playing the same sport when I'm on. Do you feel like you're appreciating that enough, or do you feel like that's kind of a collateral damage situation with how frustratingly bad the Pirates have otherwise?
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
Guys, Ben. Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week. From Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday, 12 noon, 93.7thefan.com contesting page. I think Joe's gone through this on the air. He's admitted that he used to carry, like, he had the binders of cards. I think he was a big card guy. You know my card-running joke, right? I didn't collect a ton of them as a kid, but when I did, I would always get in every effing pack of cards, there was a Bip Roberts Padres card. I knew more about Bip Roberts than any 10-year-old kid should. Oh, yeah, Bip Roberts. Yeah, hey, here's another one. Look at that guy. He's wearing those huge sweatbands. Oh, cool, Bip Roberts. Yeah, great to have you in another pack of the of 12 cards, Bip. There's how many different players in the bigs? But I've got you, good old Bip Roberts. I can't be the only person who had a situation like that with this particular player where you, if you did get a pack of cards, you'd have it every single freaking day. Anyway. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We will get back to your calls on Paul Skeens momentarily. This one, absolutely, though. We're right on the precipice of training camp, so you know stuff gets real here very quickly when training camp starts, and pretty much across the United States when training camp starts. This one, absolutely, though, tickled and delighted me. This story by Sean McIndoe at, I think he's like on social media as Down Goes Brown on Twitter and on elsewhere. So he did this morning. This published about 5 hours ago, Don, and I absolutely love this. I guess it was a thing from one of his readers, and it was the minor playoff rule change that altered NHL history, including four Stanley Cup winners, right? So I'm like, what the hell's this? Is it the skate in the crease rule from like 1999 or whatever with Brett Hull and the Sabres and Stars? And I'm looking at it, I'm like, what is this? And he goes on to write that in 1986, I don't know if you knew this, Don, the league had added, they added a fourth round to the playoffs in 1974. And the first round originally, way back, was a three-game preliminary round. And then they increased it to five games. And it was at five games until 86. In 86, probably for revenue purposes, the league decided to make every round of the Stanley Cup playoffs seven games. I would argue it's still very much the best playoffs in sports. Like, the NFL, everyone loves it, blah, blah, blah. But if you like long series and like that level of tension and stress, it's still hard to match it, okay? And so a random reader said, how much does hockey history change if the first round was best of five? There are multiple Stanley Cup champions who would not have won the Stanley Cup had this been five games. And do you want to know why we're talking about this? There's no Super Mario and the Penguins in 1991 and 92 with this. The Devils would have bounced them in five games in 91. The Capitals would have bounced them in four games in 1992. I knew they rallied from the Devils series 3-2 in the first round in 91. I remembered that vaguely, even though I was a kid. I knew they had multiple comebacks against the Capitals in series. I forgot that one of them was in 92 on the way to that cup. They got beat 7-2 in game four, Don. The home fans screaming for the exits after they get clobbered, and then they ripped off three in a row. He wrote up, this guy, Sean McIndoe, he wrote up a very funny alternate history take. He's like, well, the Penguins loaded up for success with Mario Lemieux, and now they're going to have to strip this thing down to parts because they have failed. 2 years in a row. If it had been specifically the first round, it'd still been five games. The Penguins don't win a cup. Take two of them off the board. The best part about this, of course, and the other reason I'm mentioning it, I don't think there's a single team hurt more than the Capitals. In 92, they beat the Pens and move on. In 95, they would have beaten them again in four games. I remember 95 because I think Gonchar was a young guy on those teams, and I would listen to him on the radio. They clobbered the Penguins for the first four games of that series, up 3-1.
Were any of the... So, in 09, 16, or 17, there was no issue?
No. The major ones are 91 and 92. I forget. I think there's at least one Edmonton Cup from the 80s that they list. I'd have to go back and... Pony would tell you exactly who won what, which years. But I think Edmonton had one where they didn't. They won the Cup, but I think 1990 Edmonton won the Cup. And they would have lost to the Jets in four games in the first round. But then they obviously rallied there. But I just, man, it tickled me. It was like this like very bizarro thing, and there is no team more effed by this than the Capitals. Because they also, in 2010, collapsed against the Canadiens. They were dominating that series. They beat Montreal. Remember, Montreal beat the Penguins that year, and the Capitals were in the first round against them. Up 6-3, or they won 6-3 in game four, up 3-1. Then Montreal got red hot, and then, of course, knocked the Penguins out later.
Yeah, now I'm wondering how many times the Penguins had a lead after five.
The Penguins closed the show pretty well. They're not listed in here at all, like as being a team that would have had a series that they blew. They did not. I mean, the Rangers series in 2014, but they didn't list that one.
What about that Lightning series? That would have been back in like 2010 or something.
2011. That was when Malkin and Crosby both were out with injuries, and James Neal was like their best offensive player. The other one that was 2023, the Panthers, you might forget, on their way to their first of these back-to-back cups, they were down 3-1 to the Bruins in the first round and were getting clobbered, and then they just turned it, flipped a switch, and that was it. Anyway, I enjoyed the hell out of that. I thought that was a fun little one. Let's go back onto the phones, though. I kind of asked this weird existential sports question as a Pirates fan. Like, you were supposed to enjoy watching every Paul Skeens start. That's supposed to be a little delight, a little treat from the baseball gods, and it usually is still. But I was watching it last night, and just the thought hit me, like, I have had times where I've missed a Paul Skeens start, like on a weekend. If you know it's going to be sort of old news and you have it DVR'd anyway, you go back and you can make sure you watch everything that you need to see. I've occasionally missed a start and I thought, man, how much of that is because I'm so frustrated by the team around him? Because usually when there's a great player, Steelers have great players, guess what? They've got great teams. This is a pretty strange situation where a guy that good is plying his trade for a team that has struggled this badly. Let's go to Mark on 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Maldi?
I'm good, man. What's up?
I just wanted to say last season I made the decision that I was going to enjoy Jared Jones and Paul Skeens for as long as they were here and be primarily a fan of those two players and not a Pirates fan, which has taken a lot of the angst out of watching it. So what happened, though, was this year I've been so angry with the number of non-decisions and losses that Skeens has been dealt by the team. It has made it harder to enjoy. And I can say that I'm not invested at all on whether the Pirates win or lose.
Did you watch like last night and still say, man, this is cool to watch this guy dealing or no? Or you like,
oh
you,
yeah, I okay. went to the game. I went
okay,
to the
so,
game.
So this you is, still appreciated it, him on his own merits. That's what I'm really getting at.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And last night I decided to go because they just lost a series to the worst team in baseball. That was one and nine in their last 10 games. Like the blind squirrel finds a nut. I thought they're finally going to win one for Skeens. And let's go.
That was the worst.
It was wonderful.
It was a good night to watch baseball. That was the worst part, man. They look so inept in that White Sox series. And all it takes is, oh, the big guy's going out there. Yeah. All right. Here's 6 shutout. Have it. Enjoy it. That makes it even worse. Larry in Lawrenceville. Hey, Larry.
Hello, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. I have to say that I kind of disagree with what you're saying and some of the callers. I honestly think that we have embraced Skeens as much as absolutely possible. I know that personally, every time that he's pitching, some of my friends and I get together and go somewhere and watch him pitch. And I think the support for him has been incredible in Pittsburgh. And as frustrated as we all are that the Pirates lose and he's lost a bunch of his decisions that, you know, he should have won if we were a reasonable organization, and I'm as frustrated as anybody else. But, you know, the one thing I would say is I'm almost frustrated by your perspective that we aren't 100% behind him. And
well, hold on. I think there's a
support.
Distinction.
And
there's a distinction here. There's a distinction here that I think I maybe need to make clear. I was opening this show with strictly my own personal feelings. Like, I'm not projecting broadly and saying the city isn't appreciating that. I'm asking around, like, just throwing out, like, a sounding board question. Do you feel at all like I do? The old Peter Frampton bit that I like to say. I'm not saying the city has not rallied around him. I think the city foams at the mouth with anger on his behalf. I'm just saying I personally have had a hard time remembering just like stop and smell the roses and go, oh my God, you're probably never going to see a pitcher this good again in your lifetime
exactly.
playing for the Pirates. Like, I've had a hard time with that particular task. Oh, Larry, can I just tell you one other thing? You called in as Larry from Lawrenceville. I thought there was like a 50-50 shot this was Starkey calling in under one of his little bits, Glenn and Glenn Willard.
No, I've called in a bunch, and if I could just make one last point, that'd be great. The thing that's frustrating, I like your guys' show. I just think everything's always negative. I mean, Skeens is very much like Lemieux. And Crosby is a close third, but he is the greatest talent that we've had in Pittsburgh, maybe in sports history. And I know it's early. You never know what's going to happen. But he is so dominant. It is so enjoyable to watch him. And the attendance pops when he's there. And, you know, restaurants and bars do better when he's pitching at night. I just think that Pittsburgh's a wonderful place that's embracing him despite what's going on with Nutting and us not trying to win as much as we should. But I don't know. I just think sometimes
people are, I think people are negative.
You should probably be watching all the games from beginning to end when he pitches. I mean, it's frustrating that you said at the beginning
yes,
that
sometimes you forget to though, because the games blend into one another. If they were 60-40 and not 40-60, this wouldn't be a problem. And, like, the idea of being too negative, it's negative because I got reasons to be negative. I mean, look at everything else around. It's the old, look. Like, look at this. What are we doing here?
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.